AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your 1973 podcast and a quarterly wrestling episode post SummerSlam recap. Talk about all things wrestling with guys that know wrestling, guys that got some hours logged in watching wrestling. So especially the professor, he's you know, kind of, you know, acknowledge the crew. Kayfabe's a lot of the wrestling knowledge. You know he does. He's smirking. He knows. Got a kayfabe in that house. Don't want to be mocked as unintelligent. So let's get rolling. Let's start talking about some stuff that we've missed over the last couple weeks. Different things have gone on. Let's start off with something pretty big. Thoughts on... Let's start with the professor, Shane McMahon's secret meeting with Tony Khan. What do you think?
I think there's some smoke to it. I think, and it wouldn't surprise me if somewhere down the line, I wouldn't be shocked if Vince is somewhere tied in with Shane going into this. Now, you, if you remember a few months back, I said that there was rumors that Vince wanted to start a new promotion. So I don't know if this would be any, I don't know how his relationship with Shane is, but I don't think Shane and Triple H are getting along too well right now. So they may try to stick it to that company and try to, I mean, they have the money to throw around now, whether or not they can change the booking, because the booking right now is terrible. The storylines are horrible with the exception of one or two stories, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. I mean, granted they've done it before with the whole WCW angle, but I mean, you got to do everything at one point. Some point, everything's going to get retread. I mean, you kind of run out of stories and ideas. So I'm all for it.
Bradford, what do you think of thoughts of the McMahons kind of invading AEW as like on-air personalities? What do you think?
Oh, well, their secret meeting wasn't so secret. It's all over social media. So if they're trying to pull the fast one, they might want to be a little more reclusive, you know? But I thought Shane and Vince had a fractured relationship, though, especially when all the drama came out about Vince and how he got ousted. But Vince is Shane's father. Blood runs thicker than water, you know? So if Vince is trying to schmooze and finagle his way into another program, why not the struggling AEW? I mean, it makes perfect sense. I think if there is bad blood between Shane and Triple H, maybe he's like jealous that Triple H is booking so well. Maybe he's mad that, you know, Triple H is sticking it to his sister every day. And I don't know, he feels a certain way about it. Like, I don't know, but he's, I think, or it could just be a ratings grab. Could be a PR stunt.
Yeah. You know? Before we get to the Phantom on this, I want to say that I had seen, it went up really quick and then I couldn't find anything else on it, that Sasha Banks was the one that leaked the original photo of the two of them, and then you know, so I mean, as far as kayfabe goes in that company, it's tough to keep a secret in that company with all those weasels that are you know, running around there. Phantom, thoughts on Shane McMahon and AEW?
I think it's pretty cool. I'm kind of like what Brad was saying there towards the end. I think it's more of just maybe he'll show up for like one of their pay-per-views or something like that, just as a character, not like anything like really by like Tony's not going to like start letting him book and stuff like that. It'd kind of be cool if it was like that, because then it'd be like WWE didn't really want him back. So now he's butthurt and be like, well, I'll go to the other place. And, you know, just him showing up there is going to be huge for them. Even if it's for nothing, just because people will believe that it is something. So they could probably do quite a bit of it, but they bring him over and just have him like manage somebody or bring back the Mean Street Posse or whatever they want to do with him. It'd suck. If I was them, I'd kind of run with the thing like when he showed up at WCW that time, and it's like, I'm here to take over, buy out Tony or whatever, the evil takeover, that kind of thing. But we'll see where they go with it. But I definitely think there's something going on with it.
Yeah, I had maybe at not that I'm going to drop the money on it, but at what is it, All Out first or All In? Which one's first, All In and then All Out?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. See, even right there is confusing right off the rip. So, you know, they got to get their good thumb.
Well, now that you talk about the Mercedes Moné stuff, isn't she calling her little group that she's starting, the corporation? I wonder if Shane could be brought in there and act like he's the guy running everything, going kind of like the old WCW angle with McMahon and the cronies.
Could be. Not copyrighted, yeah. The corporation? I don't think you can copyright that, right? As long as they don't bring back the union. I think what they're lacking in some of these storylines, even WWE at times, is, you know, they're missing the Jack Tunney, you know, the guy that's got no skins in the game, that's just like the on-air personality as the matchmaker, the president, the person that hands out the suspensions, that's not an active wrestler. You know, we don't need the Mick Foley's, we don't need the Ken Shamrock's, you need somebody that's a non-wrestling entity that just is like, you know, the office, you know, in a storyline. So maybe Shane McMahon will take that role on air or whatever, or maybe what's not to say that they get Vince in some kind of faction like that. But I mean, this is the company that didn't want Sammy Guevara and Sasha Banks interacting because of the things that she, you know, he had said about her, and he's not there anymore either. So why would you take Vince on when he's got a history of, you know, being around young ladies and stuff going sideways? So Shane, nothing to worry about, and I don't want to see him wrestle either. So, you know, the on-air personality would be cool as, you know, commissioner or evil hostile takeover. That'd be cool. Another AEW news that broke, was it Friday, maybe into Saturday, day of SummerSlam, was the Britt Baker MJF story, where I guess during his match with Will Ospreay, she was in the back watching on a monitor and tearing it up. And I guess his girlfriend overheard her saying it, and she had said something to him. And I guess him and Will Ospreay had said something to her in the back. Now, I mean, it was an hour Broadway, so how can you critique that? That match was pretty good. It had, you know, it wasn't too over the top, but just enough good finish at the end, an unexpected finish to set up a storyline with that, you know, title for the short time going into All In. Britt Baker's known for having, you know, a mouth in the back for different instances. I'll start with, I'll go the other way around. I'll go with the Phantom one. Thoughts on the Britt Baker MJF story?
I didn't realize there was that much heat between the two of them until that broke out. I know they kind of like talked about it a little bit when he was with Cole, but it's I don't know, it's kind of BS. They finally brought her back. I think I'd give her a pass because they're hurting so bad with what's going on, and she was actually a nice little pump up for to get people to watch. I don't know how long the suspension is. Does it even affect her match with Monet, or is the match still on, or now is it like canceled?
I think it's still on, and I heard that she was suspended for 2 weeks. Yeah. So it goes right up into the pay-per-view. So if, I mean, what do you do? You're not going to put her over. I mean, you gotta have her get beat, right? And is it to the point where you squash her or whatever? I mean, the match, is it going to be even that great? Who knows? Bradford, what are your thoughts on that sexual tension between FJF and Dr. Britt.
I mean, I don't think she's wrong in saying that that match, I mean, it wasn't, I didn't think it was great. It was an hour long, and afterwards, MJF had to hit the oxygen mask. You know, you're going to put together a 60-minute match with a belt exchange. That should have been a pay-per-view, first of all. Especially, I think MJF, like, rebranded the belt, or the company did, AEW yeah. did. So, it's like, you make all those big changes with that belt. I mean, you should be allowed to critique stuff at your work center. I critique this work center all the time. No, I'm playing.
You and everybody else.
Yeah. I think suspending her for 2 weeks, though, I mean, come on, man. Like, what kind of a organization are you running? Like, if she said something that's worthy of being a 2 week suspension, and then you go and somebody leaks it to the press, that's just a bad look for your whole organization. Like, that's not where somewhere I would want to work, you know? I don't know. Any kind of heat is good for a company, for promotions. So maybe more people will tune in just to see what's going to happen next, you know?
Before I hit the professor with this, I think that the whole change into the belt is just an Lance Storm style when he won the U.S. title and changed it to the Canadian heavyweight title. I don't think it's a permanent change. I think it's just until Ospreay gets it back or whoever wins it. It's just, I think it's just MJF playing into the character of, you know, kind of swapping. So, Thomas, thoughts on that?
I'm going completely off the grid with this. I'm not even going to include MJF in this. I think his girlfriend should have the most heat, Alicia Atout or whatever the heck her name is. To me, if whatever said in the locker room, in the inner sanctum of the locker room, should have stayed there. It's not like she said this on a podcast or in an interview with a dirt sheet or something. To me, there should have been more heat on her than Breaker. And I blame, actually, Tony Khan, I don't blame him so much for this one because he's actually delegated this type of stuff to Bryan Danielson. So I think Bryan Danielson, I think they should have, to me, if you're going to do anything, do like how back in the old days WWE have when the Undertaker was the judge and they'd have, like, I think JBL was like the prosecutor. Do a thing like that. Do a
kangaroo court.
Kangaroo court. Yeah, do a kangaroo court. You know, I mean, I think it's pretty damn stupid, to be honest with you.
So if she was going to talk crap, she should have saved it if she ever came on the podcast, right?
Snitches get stitches. I think Alicia Atout is going to be getting a receipt somewhere along the line.
I want to talk about AEW in a whole. How you know, it's we've mentioned it before. It's a mess. It's run. It's hit the 5 year mark, and they're at like a lull right now. All the luster has come off of it, and you know. When is it going to be about the light bulb that clicks in to what they really need to do as far as drawing fans in like they had when Punk showed up? I mean, that's that million fans that they drew on that first Collision was probably their biggest TV rating that they've ever had. And since then, it's kind of been, you know, kind of nothing. So, I mean, if you were running the show, what would you do to change it? Like, there's got to be one or two big things that you would do. What do you think, Tom?
That's a good it's a good question. I mean, I like MJF should be the centerpiece of the show. I think they should go back to the old school, how NWA did it, and build the show. Like, they used to always build up and forget having these guys being the first thing you see. Like, nowadays, they try to catch your eye with the first thing having something big, but I'd say either for the main event, like MJF, like Brad said, or for the pay-per-view and have the match like that, at least make it the last match of the night. If you're not going to make it a pay-per-view match, make it the last match of the night. And I think, to be honest with you, I think they need to clean house with whoever's booking right now. And they need to bring in some older guys that have a little more experience. I don't know who, I don't really even know who's doing the booking mostly, but it's right now it seems like it's gotten worse.
From what I understand, Tony Khan just puts the matches together and he allows the talent to work out the match. But if you've never been on a big stage and you've never had that polish of putting a match together and everything's just getting moves in and killing yourself, that's not actually telling a story. You're just getting your same, like you watch, I've said this before, you watch Hangman Page. He's got to get those same moves in all the time. And it's like, what are you doing? It's like that backflip off the top turnbuckle every match. It makes no sense. You're supposed to save all that stuff when it means something. I mean, that's just my critique of it. I mean, the Attitude Era is come and gone. You're never going to – they tried with WCW with Russo to compete with the Attitude Era. That stuff's all gone. It's different. If you've learned anything from whether you like the Bloodline storyline or you don't, people want to get invested with tuning in every week to see what's going to happen, even if it's for 10 minutes for that one segment. That's what keeps the wrestling fans now is the what's going to happen next. I mean, everybody's got that memory of a, cricket now. So, I mean, you got to kind of keep it in small doses, but look how long Roman Reigns had the belt when it kept people there. Now he's back and everybody's excited again. But it's that old saying, how can you miss somebody if they don't go away? He just left at WrestleMania. He's back. So you got a break from seeing him after seeing him all that time. Now you don't know where they're going to go with the story. And that's the best thing about the way they do it. If you got that roster of guys, like I noticed Brock Lesnar's back on the WWE page. So that must mean something's going to happen. I thought he was going to show up maybe last night. You got the John Cena thing to talk about too. We're going to segue before we finish this AEW stuff into the WWE stuff, but thoughts on AEW Phantom. You'd love to book that.
Yeah, I think they need to cut the fat. You know, they got to get rid of that collision show. Nobody watches it. I don't. That doesn't even seem like it counts towards Dynamite. It seems like they're their own separate things. So it's not like they're carrying stuff over from Wednesday to Friday and then back to Wednesday. Again, we've talked about it 1,000 times. The stories are horrible. You know, we'll talk about SummerSlam in a bit here, but almost all those matches on SummerSlam had some kind of story building towards all those matches. And AEW does it, even when they start to do it, they don't see it through. So it's like they don't, their long view is horrible. I think, I don't know, I like to see Tony, like, I mean, he could still have his say. He could still be in the room, but they got guys over there. I mean, even like, you know, we make fun of Chris Jericho all the time, but Chris Jericho could probably book better than he could. Like, he's been around forever. He's you know, got a wrestling mind. They could do so much better than what they have because they do have the talent. Because the matches, for the most part, pretty solid. Like they have good matches. It's just you have interest from one week to the next. What's making you tune back in? Probably nothing. Yeah, you can if you just want to watch good matches, you can go on YouTube and catch that. You know.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Let's catch the highlights for AEW.
Yeah.
So, Bradford, you got – they give you the pen tomorrow. What's the first thing you do to change AEW?
I mean, I think, like what y'all said, book better booking, better storytelling, better creatives. I know AEW fans will die on this sword that they don't want all this over-the-top storytelling. They want pure, true wrestling. And that's the difference between AEW and WWE. WWE sports entertainment. This is wrestling. But like, if there's not a story, I don't care if it's a 60-minute match and a title change on a regular scheduled program. I'm not watching it. I'll catch the highlights like I did on Facebook and Instagram. You know, Trim the Fat. You guys mentioned that. They have not one, but two trios titles in AEW. Like, there should even be one, for being honest. There's two. Like, you can't just give everybody a dang title, you know, but it's like you said, Andy, Tony Khan kind of, you know, pencils in who's going to do what, and then he lets the talent, well, the talent's probably sitting there like, damn, I see so-and-so has a belt. I want a belt. Let's make up a belt. And, you know, it gets
and then
delivered.
They all look the same.
What's that?
And then they all look the same. So there's no definition between the belts because they all look the same, which is a pet peeve of mine, but real quick sports analogy with wrestling, and I always try to simplify it for the slow kids that are watching. If whatever your sport is, so Brad will we'll say you like the Cowboys. So you don't stop watching the Cowboys when they get to the Super Bowl. You stop watching and getting invested in a little bit in preseason, and then you watch best you can every week, and you watch the story play out, right, as a fan. That's how come it's not that simple with wrestling. You take a guy, and this is his journey, and not everybody has to be a guy mid you know, card and up. The other guys are just learning the craft underneath, trying to be enhancement guys, or maybe picking up the rub from somebody, or, you know, not everybody's Blair and Hogan. It's just that simple. And I just don't understand how at brass tacks people don't look at it like that. There's a trophy. Mm-hmm. Here's your guys. Each week you're invested in certain parts and you're watching it as it unfolds. It's so simple. You make it out to be so much harder than what it actually is. And that's what they don't get, because I want to use the wrong term, your marks for the wrong things. Go back and watch old stuff. It's very simple. I mean, not everybody can be your world champion. It's just how it is. But it's the illusion of the ride, the story. So AEW is a mess. I mean, I said it before. We said it with the guys right from day one when it started, all invested. The sports-based presentation that they gave in the beginning in Vegas with Cody and Tony Khan and then initial group, that initial group sucks. They're still there and they suck. They were never in WWE. There's a reason for why Omega and the Bucks and now Hangman never went there beforehand, because they're pains in the ass that nobody wanted to deal with. And you're seeing it. You're seeing it play out on TV. You saw it with Punk. Cody's too cool to say, you know, how he really feels. And that's why it's a mess, because you can't tell them they're wrong. And until that changes, you never know. So let's shift gears to where the action is. WWE, we'll start with SmackDown. There was two matches I watched on Friday that I was invested in. One was kind of, I just wanted to see where they were going with it, was the ladies tag. Just wanted to see if Cargill and Bianca Belair were going to win, which they didn't. Bradford, did you watch it?
Yep.
Thoughts? Nope.
You put me in a spot, man, because I'm the biggest Jade Cargill fan, but
you and Ed?
She cannot.
Must be a Southern thing.
Bruh. Her matches, even with somebody as talented as Bianca Belair, they cannot carry her to superstardom. She's gonna have to go back, put her back down in NXT, let her train up for a little while. What's the harm in that? It'll only boost NXT. Be like, hey, you know, we tried. We put you with somebody who's really experienced. It's just not working. She misses spots. She's clumsy. She's gonna hurt somebody. But she's easy to look at. She's got the body and the physique. And again, I think she's only lasted this long because she's one of Mark Henry's proteges. Like, he is pushing this. And so they're probably throwing him a favor, you know, throwing him a bone. And I don't know.
I still think that Cody is the gate for the AEW talent coming that way.
Oh, yeah.
They even mentioned, I don't know if you saw it in the SummerSlam pre-show, they showed AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles was putting Joe over like crazy in that. I don't know if you guys
saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, and there's a guy that if Triple H was there now, when Joe was there, he would have never left, because that guy is one of the most underused talents that they had come through, that you were waiting for him to get there. And then when he got there, kind of, they didn't use him to his potential. So not to get off the Jade Cargill match. Did either one of you guys watch SmackDown on Friday?
I was in and out.
Yeah.
I did catch some of that match, but I don't even remember them winning or losing the belt. So I must be looking at my phone or get less of what was going on.
Yeah.
It was forgettable.
I didn't know if they were going to throw the belts on them again, and I just wanted to watch it because I knew it was live, and you never know with some of those ladies matches if there's going to be a hard, you know, botch in it and somebody's going to get blasted or something like that. So That was my interest for really watching that. But what I did want to see was the main event, the new bloodline with the Samoan werewolf, which we will get to. I thought for sure, storyline wise, with the new crew, that they were going to win. They did. So I don't know, Ryan, did you end up watching that part of it? Did you see him win?
Yeah.
Good part of, you know, setting up a story going forward.
Off the story.
Yeah.
I think they, you know, they're trying to start to lean a little bit towards like they're going to get all the belts. Just like, to me, like, I don't think anybody really thought that Solo was going to win the belt, but at least they kind of put it in the back of your mind, like, all right, we'll get the tag team belts. Let's go forward. Now, who knows? They could go the other way with it. The other guys could be like, hey, we got belts and you lost them. Maybe we're higher than you, you know? They always can go so many different ways with that. So many different talented guys. And then when, like, I'm guessing the Usos is going to be coming back now that, you know, Roman's showing up. So, pretty good.
Bradford, thoughts on that match?
Yeah, I mean, it was a banger for sure. It was a great main event. Great way to wrap up the night. I love that they're letting Jacob Fatu just absorb those finishers by people. It, you know, Johnny Gargano hit him with the finisher, and he's like, yeah, you know, he thought the match was in the bag. And then Jacob just stands up, and it's like, you know, like, it's coming. And then he proceeds to hit, like, every Samoan finisher back to back to back. So I think that might be an issue down the road. Like, in order for him to win, he has to hit, like, three finishers in a row. But it was exciting, man. I love that they're doing it. You know, I think that guy's got – he's got a bright future in the WWE. I can't wait.
Yeah, and seven kids to feed, too. That's the worst part.
Oh, wow.
So Samoans hit hard.
Those are Tyreek Hill numbers.
Those are Sean Kemp numbers.
Actually, I think Tyreek Hill has like 12 kids. So
Ricky Williams, too, right?
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I told you Jacob Fatu was one of those guys that was on my radar for a long time. Perfect to bring him in. We're going to switch to SummerSlam and start talking about that. Get this ball rolling, because lots to talk about. We'll try to go in order. I still don't understand how they lay out the night for matches. Now, what I like about the way they're doing things now is I don't find that the big pay-per-views like this get too long in the tooth. It's one of the major pay-per-views, so I think it's great that they blow off the storylines at the big pay-per-views. That's a la old school stuff, and maybe you save the smaller pay-per-views, DLEs or whatever the hell they call them now, for, you know, just little blips on the radar, maybe a belt change. But as far as, you know, the blow-offs for these storylines, they kind of proved it tonight, last night, with all the, you know, the finish of a story and where you can go with, you know, stories from a story as a branch. They kind of proved that last night with. So we'll start with Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan. Now, Chris, when he's on, he's not a fan of anything simmer on the pot. He was like, I'm tired of this Judgment Day. Let's break this Judgment Day up. He was tired of Roman Reigns with the belt. He could not watch Bob Backlund for a 6-year run. That guy would be pulling his hair out, what's ever left of it, in his back hair, in his pit hair, be pulling it all out. So thoughts on, let's go to the professor. Thoughts on the Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio storyline. What do you think, Thomas?
I liked it, actually. And no, as much as I don't like Dom, he has picked up, I mean, granted, he's around Ray, and he grew up with Eddie. He's picked up those mannerisms of those guys, especially the dastardly Eddie Guerrero stuff. When, like, Eddie, classic when Eddie Guerrero was doing the whole thing with China and everything. I mean, he's playing that to a T, so he fits the role perfectly. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if the crowd takes Taria as a good guy again, because, I mean, the first time around, they didn't really, she kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. So we'll have to see if they're going to make her, like, a tweener where she still does some things like does goes the old like Stone Cold way where she does shit like offhanded and I won't say underhanded, but whatever it takes to win. And it'll be interesting to see where they go with this from now. But it, we all knew that the Judgment Day at some point was going to break up.
So before we get to Brad, I just want to say, speaking of getting lost in the shuffle with Rhea Ripley, what does get lost in the shuffle is that gear during a match. Definitely gets lost in the shuffle.
Storytelling.
Long, it's definitely storytelling there. Bradford, hey, you have the floor.
One thing AEW does right is they pay their cameramen very well. Way more money than WWE pays their cameramen. We'll put it that way. The best thing about that match was the camera angles, though. Let's be honest. We've been calling it for a while. I mean, it's as much as I like Mommy, and it's a women's match, and I'm still like half tuned in, half not paying attention. I did love to see the turn with Dominic. That was epic. It was incredible. We've been waiting for it. It happened. It was a good match. It was a great way to open the night. Like they hit us with that right out the gate. So it was like, man, they can only go up from there. And it did. So
how many of those ladies that wrestle, on a regular basis could pull off the storytelling that Rhea Ripley did with the selling the shoulder? That was definitely it. You don't see that often with,
men either.
Right. Right. Now, whether it was legit or not, probably not. But her banging her shoulder into the announce table, trying to put it in and selling it. And it if you're looking at it from a storyline, there's no way that Liv Morgan could beat her up, because she's she's soft and one's rough. That's the dynamic. You got Dom in the middle. So you got that. How's she going to pull this off? She needs Dominic. There's a freak shoulder thing that's going on. They worked that. She almost got out of it. That's because Rhea Ripley's like China, but way more athletic, way more gifted, way gets it way more. That's where I want to see the storyline go before we go to the Phantom is I'd love to see that storyline be Dom in the middle. Like,
oh, yeah.
Instead of like a woman being stuck in the middle of two guys fighting, I'd love to see him be like the mouse in the middle. Like he's not innocent, but he doesn't get what the situation that he's in that a lot of other guys, grown men would be like, I'll take that all day. It's like the kid in him doesn't get that. And maybe they can intertwine some kind of storyline that all three of them get along. If you know what I mean, going to Netflix where they're going to be more raw and how there's a love triangle. That's kind of, kind of the upside down pineapple kind of storyline. So,
Phantom, and he suddenly went Rob Black, and he's looking like he's in XPW.
I watched a lot of wrestling.
They need to have Rhea start to hook up with Carlito because that's some comedy gold right there.
That would be hilarious.
Have Dom getting jealous and kind of go that way. But yeah, no, that match was great. I've been all in on that story right through. It's been pretty good. Yeah, kind of a little not predictable, but I kind of seen it that it was going to end up going that way. But it how they did that, they did a good job with it. They I'm curious what they're going to do now with the Judgment Day. Is it going to be like, are they going to have Wolfpack Judgment Day? Are they? I think it's still going to be the Judgment Day, and it's going to be like Rhea and Damian are going to be together. They're kind of going to be like the new good guys, and then. Oh, Finley's gonna get his not Finley, whatever.
Finn Balor. What's his name?
Finn Balor. He's gonna he'll get his little crew, and they'll still kind of all be around a little bit, and then we'll see kind of how they work it off from there.
The thing that I thought was funny, I don't know if you guys caught the subtlety in it, is anytime Carlito was involved, he would have these little one-liners about telling Dominic what's wrong with you, like in the funniest way, like she gave you the room key. And you're not doing nothing?
Yeah.
Like, that's not cool. Like, the guy that was walking around with Tori Wilson, remember when he had her at, sometimes they don't maximize some of that stuff. And maybe only 10% of the people really read into, you know, what they're trying to come across with or whatever. But so thoughts on the judgment line? You think that the judgment day, you think they're splitting it in half, two groups? They got enough guys, right, to do it? It's like 3-3.
I think Damian Priest and Rhea are going to finally launch into their own solo. I mean, she's so over. She could do a solo run. I think Damian Priest is better with Judgment Day, but he's got to stand on his own somehow, you know? So turning him face, having a beef with Finn Balor, his best friend. I mean, it's a great storyline, you know? But I don't think they're going to form two Judgment Days. I think they're going to form two Bloodlines. Can't have two Judgment Days.
So we'll stay on that. Even though we'll jump around to almost the end of the show, we'll go with the Gunther and Damian Priest match. I thought it was, and see, I like Gunther because of his style. Reminds me of, like, you know, that old style, the type of wrestling I like. Hard hitting, you know, he's not a gimmick. He's probably legitimately tough. If that guy puts his hands on you, I think he'd kind of tie you in knots if he wanted to have it, you know, put you in the corner, make you, you know, kind of Stan Hansen it a little bit, treat you kind of rough. What I did like about that was I get to give Damian Priest a lot of credit. That finish, when he was trying to, he wasn't even worried about Gunther, and he was trying to just get to Finn Balor, like the eye contact and trying to grab him by the throat. And his whole, after he knew he got screwed, that whole thing with that look and that drama that they were trying to portray was really good. And I like that they put the belt on Gunther too. So, Phantom, thoughts on that match?
That was another, I thought the whole pay-per-view was pretty kick-ass. I thought all the matches were really good. I think Gunther's ready to have a decent run as that on that. Maybe he can do for that world championship what he was doing with the Intercontinental belt. I don't see him having it only for a short time. But it was good. The only one thing I didn't really care for is when Finn came out, Gunther kind of hit him, and then like as the match went on, like he kind of like, I mean, he was gonna turn on Damian Priest anyways, but it was like, if he was turning on him, why would you put that into the match where have that spot where he just knocked you off the ring apron or whatever, and then you get up and you help him win? It kind of didn't make any sense to me, but the match was solid, hot hitting. Begin, Gunther's chest was all blown up. I can imagine what Damian Priest feels like. He gets hurt every match, so he's gonna need a few days off. That chest is cooking.
And he's not 21.
Oh yeah, I'm like, not a big fan of his, but he's a good wrestler. I just think that he's like too elevated in the card to where I think he is.
Bradford, thoughts on that match?
I mean, I thought it was incredible. I love that part where Gunther is about to choke him out, and then he saw Finn, and he just like came alive again. And I was sitting there like, not like this, man, not like this. Like, lose to Gunther. It had to happen. But not losing Judgment Day in the same night. Like, that's a double whammy. I was actually heartbroken, man. I was like, man, that sucks for Damian Priest. But I'm excited to see where he goes, you know, from here. If he has to rise to the occasion. Like I said, he needs to stand on his own. He's great in a faction. He's great at cutting promos backstage. Now you got to stand on your own. You got your – they turned him face. He's going to have to do something with this. Everybody – he has the whole – all the fans, he's over. Seth Rollins helped put him over. In that pay-per-view match when they faced off, Gunther basically put him over. You know, I think that's kind of like the initiation is getting chest slapped by Gunther before you're allowed to proceed to any kind of superstardom in WWE. You got to get your chest wrecked one time by Gunther. I'm excited. Gunther's run is going to be epic.
Gunther, Brock Lesnar, that'd be a good match. Just saying, throwing it out there. Thomas, thoughts on that match?
I thought it was really good, to be honest with you. I'm impressed with Gunther. I think he's going to have a pretty long run with the belt for a while. And just as long as they don't stick him with anyone, like, I don't want to see him with the Imperium guys anymore. I mean, he really hasn't been with them anyway, but just let him be on his own. I mean, don't give him a manager. Just let him be. I like how he is now. I mean, I actually liked him when he was a little bit like he's thicker. Not as. I mean, they've had to lose quite a bit of weight. I liked him when he was just a normal looking dude. But as far as Judgment Day, I don't see them. I think you're more likely to see maybe a group with like Finn Balor, maybe JD McDonough, possibly Drew McIntyre, all those like Scottish guys or Welsh guys together. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Pete Dunne is English or what he is, but I could see them putting them all those guys together. But I think Judgment Day, I agree with Brad. I can't see them doing two Judgment Days and two Bloodlines. It's kind of overkill in my eyes.
Before we move on, I forgot to ask you guys with the Liv Morgan match, were you happy that she kept the belt?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you turn Rhea face, and now we can spend the next year watching Rhea chase down Liv Morgan and win it back. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, and Rhea doesn't need the belt. No. And Liv Morgan's kind of like one of those slimy, like heels, you know, she's not going to ever, in order to keep that belt, she's going to cheat to keep it because of her moveset. And, you know, because she's one of those softer style of, you know, wrestlers. She's not a hard hitter. She's not like Rhea Ripley or somebody like that, or technical, like say like a Bayley. She's more believable. Right. Like, you know, she wrestles.
I think that's where Dom comes in as well, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reverse. He's the Missy Hyatt to her Eddie Gilbert, pretty much. So let's knock these ladies' matches out. Let's go to the Nia Jax Bayley match. This was
when it came on. Hold on, I gotta go get a drink.
Yeah. So pretty much what I thought about with the Bayley match, and
he's really going to get a drink.
The other side of the universe over there. No, my thought process was that's the match they should have probably put on first, right? Get that out of the way with. Whew. Instead of being like,
is it over?
I was not invested in that at all. I don't like either one of them. I'm not a Bayley fan. The only thing that I think is cool about her is she's a lifelong wrestling fan, which is the best thing about Nia Jax. You watch her like Jade Cargill because she's known for hurting people legit, and maybe you might see something. Maybe somebody will fall wrong, somebody will get popped in the face. So them putting the belt on her, was that just because The Rock is involved? What do you think, Thomas?
I think she's a transition champion. I think she'd be the champion, and I think they don't want to give – I guess Rhea Ripley's going to be fighting – Liv Morgan for the belt. So Tiffy Time's got to take the belt off of somebody. So it might as well be Nia Jax. You're not losing any. Nia Jax loses, nobody's going to care. If Bayley loses, they were just building her up. So at least they'll have somebody for Tiffy to feud with once she does win the belt.
So you think pretty much we're going to be watching 1 week or whatever, and Nia Jax is going to be on the ropes or whatever, and just, you know, have an exhausting match, which would be anything more than like 3 minutes for her. And then they'll end up, you know, cashing in the money in the bank and pinning her and walking off with the new briefcase that she has.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Bradford?
Yeah.
Were you shocked?
No, I wasn't shocked. I like Bayley. I'm a huge fan of Bayley, but her being a champ was boring. It just when it's not working, it's not working. I like that she came out with her Macho Man jacket with the tethers. That was cool. She hit the flying elbow. That was cool, right? That's like, I think, her little homage to Macho Man. She's wearing her whole outfit was kind of Macho Man Randy Savage, if I'm being honest. I thought that was really cool of her. She's old school. Bayley will be successful no matter what she does, belt or no belt. You know, Nia Jax has no pop, no fans. She's just the afterthought, but they're going to have to build this up now because they've been doing this friendship between Tiffy and her, and now Tiffy has the briefcase, so there's going to be a lot of tension there, and I'm excited to see where they go with it.
What thoughts on that new briefcase?
I like it. I don't know. It looks good. I don't know.
Did Did it have my number in it?
Yeah.
Ludwig Kaiser. That's the boyfriend.
Blows my mind.
Good for him.
Attaboy.
It's weird.
Phantom, thoughts on that match before we move on?
Yeah, I figured they were going to put the belt on her. You know, they kind of building her up. They give her the crown. So transition into a champion as well. She's different compared to the rest. So I guess they need to have somebody to be like a blonde killer. They need to her. I think they should do like work Cargill up to fight her. You know, let's see if Jade can throw her around. That'd be kind of cool.
$500 body slam contest, right?
Have them fight in a shoot match.
Put them in a cage. Thomas, the next match, if I'm going jumping around here, was the Intercontinental match, right?
Yep. Logan Paul and LA Knight, yeah.
Okay, so Logan Paul, LA Knight, U.S. title match. They said a stat that Logan Paul only defended the belt like two or three times in almost a calendar year. I mean, that's weak right there. That to me, that's just poor. Poor, absolutely poor. He had that one match against Cody, right? And that was for a belt. It was supposed to be a title versus title, and they took it away. And I mean,
yep.
Logan Paul, what I will say about him is people hate him for obvious reasons. I mean, he's not in the generation of, you know, our style of wrestler. But the guy is athletic, and he does get the heel side of being a heel. I think the hateable thing is when he pushes like all the prime stuff, and that, and people are like, you know, this guy's obnoxious already. But good for LA Knight. I mean, an older guy, been grinding away. Yeah, U.S. title isn't what it once was, but good for him. Tom, thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to start right off by saying I can't stand Logan Paul. I think the reason they even gave him the belt for as long as they did is because he's got so many followers on his Instagram and social medias that more eyes are going to be on the product. But from everything I'm reading online, this may have been punishment because he said some controversial comments about a particular Olympic sort of a controversy going on right now. And he got in trouble for it backstage. So I'm wondering if this is what it is. And actually, from what Triple H said after the pay-per-view, he actually, Logan Paul was one of the two people that Triple H mentioned that got banged up during their matches, and he's getting checked out. So he may actually gotten hurt. Triple H actually said it was on the superplex spot. He got hurt, I guess. So he may end up being out for a while.
Bradford, you care to touch on that Logan Paul incident?
I'm not saying anything, but you know, when you sign Logan Paul, you know what you're getting. You know he's going to be obnoxious. He's going to be vocal in the media. He talks about he's no filter, but that's what you want. He's a great heel. He's super athletic. But LA Knight been grinding away for decades. You know, I think it's his first championship with WWE, so is more than ready. And nobody is more over than LA Knight than freaking Jey Uso is the only person I could think of that's more over with the fans. People love LA Knight. He has his haters. People call him a ripoff of Stone Cold and whatever. I get it. But the guy is phenomenal. He gets the business. He's a great physique. He can carry that title. He can elevate it. He's incredible on the mic. Like, come on. Who doesn't go LA Knight? Yeah. When he comes out, like, and it's dumb. That is the dumbest promo, but I get so hyped. Lucas taught me how to do, you know, the hand signals. So we just be walking around the house at each other doing this all day, you know? Yeah.
Just don't be throwing those lines around the streets.
Yeah, right? So way overdue, man. Way past due. And Logan Paul is good for the biz. He's good for wrestling. I hate that the logo is on every square inch of the ring, but I'll get over it.
I know him as Eli Drake. Yeah.
Yep.
not LA Knight, which is stupid because that's typical. One of my pet peeves with WWE, he had already an established name. They won't let him use it. Eli Drake was way better than LA Knight. Sounds like the sneakers from back in the day, LA Gear. Same crap. I like him. That's one of the few belts that's left that has some history to it that needs to be brought back to some prominence, like Brad was kind of touching on. They need somebody that's kind of going to build that up again and make it what it once was. It was the intercontinental title of the NWA. It was the guy that was the gate or the workhorse for who was getting ready to be champion. And, you know, it was the number one contender at one time for, you know, the belt that Flair had. So, Banta, thoughts on the LA Knight?
I'm a Logan Paul fan. I mean,
shocker.
For a guy that has not been in the wrestling business, he can blow away half the guys that wrestle, and he's only been in there a short time. And like, the guy's so busy elsewhere, he can't be on TV every week, you know, defending the belt or popping promos. But I think he's doing more for that belt, just carrying it than defending it, because if he's on his podcast, he brings the belt with him. So the belt's out in the forefront, and that thing's getting more visibility than the world championship does. So I had no problems with him not defending it. And where he's the heel, it's just a nice play on the faces thing. You don't defend the belt. You know, you're a typical bad guy. You know, you're not putting the belt on the line kind of thing. So I thought it was great. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And as far as like you said, my boy Eli Drake, he was awesome when we were watching that little NWA wrestling that was coming on just on YouTube. I think like he should have like the Damian Priest spot. Like when I was saying that Priest is too elevated, like he had like really kind of rose to almost like to the top of the card. And then after like I think when they started doing the Cody Rock thing and he kind of Seth came back, they kind of put him on a back burner a bit, but he was pretty hot. And I think he's still the fans are still behind him, but I mean they kind of AEW'd him a bit where they brought him in, they built him up and they didn't do shit with him. And you know, if this is where he's gonna fall, I guess it could be worse. There's a lot of the guys that are worse off than he is that have talent. So yeah, good on him for getting it.
Look at the just a couple of guys real quick from that NWA startup with on YouTube when they brought it back. So Eli Drake, LA Knight, right? They had Nick Aldis was the champ, right? Camille, Thunder Rosa was there. And what's his name took over for Jim Cornette after Jim Cornette left was what's his name? Wade Barrett. So he's there too. Okay. So they kind of even combed through that and kind of took like the best of the best. And Aldis was the guy that never really got his due on a big stage either, you know, because of other things that had gone on with certain things, I guess, that he didn't want to come in as a jobber. He didn't want to. But of course, with Triple H taking over, a lot of things have been kind of swept under the rug. And credit to whatever you think of Triple H, he brought Bruno back. He brought Ultimate Warrior back in the fold all before those guys passed. And I'm sure that, you know, the Steiner brothers with Scott saying all that stuff brought those guys back, put them in the Hall of Fame, deservedly so. Those guys are legit Hall of Famers. So speaking of that, Bron Breakker. This is the match that we talked about this, that I can't understand the storyline with this, where he just wrestled Sami Zayn pay-per-view before and lost, and then you have him in a promo say that he didn't take Sami Zayn serious because he's a comedian and all this other stuff. It kind of didn't make any sense from a storyline for me. I'm glad that they put the belt on him. Hopefully he'll do something with it. I'm kind of okay with Sami Zayn. Like, he's kind of meh with me. It depends on what situation he's in. Bradford, thoughts on that Bron Breakker match?
Yeah, I mean, finally. I mean, holy shit. It's like the Phantom was saying how they kind of took LA Knight and catapulted him and then put him on the back burner. I was like, they're not about to do this to Bron Breakker. To get beat, he got beat clean by Sami Zayn. Didn't even get up and like destroy him afterwards. Just hung his head and walked out. And then comes back with this weak promo about, well, I had my hands down because you're a comedian. It's like you said, man, it was a weird storyline and a weird build, but then he comes out at SummerSlam and beats Sami's. Like, I blinked and the match was over. I'm glad he did it. I thought they were going to kind of take Braun on this like Goldberg trajectory where he would just come out, spear his opponent, pin him, walk away, and they would just, you know, because they've been pulling a lot of old school shit out lately. But then when he got beat by Sammy, I was like, man, what the hell? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you have to beat Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is, he's a comedian. He's a clown. Like, this doesn't make sense. So I was glad that he got to do it. Both the Steiner brothers were in attendance, as well as like Kevin Nash. Bunch of people came to watch Braun Breaker. And, you know, I don't think you see that old school talent at AEW pay-per-views. I'm just going to say that, you know, they come out for WWE stuff. So, I thought that was really cool, man. I mean, you could see the tension between Rick and Scott Steiner. Like, they were amicable. They were like nice to each other, but they weren't, you know what I mean? You could cut the tension with a knife there. I was like, and at one point they weren't even sitting next to each other. They were seat like 10 seats away. So yeah, it was awesome, dude. I liked it. Not a bad match at SummerSlam. There wasn't a single bad match.
Phantom, thoughts on the Braun Breaker?
Oh, that's great. I think he's a superstar. He's sky's the limit for him for sure. I think Sammy's great too, though. I think you can't have a bad match with Sammy. He's a good worker, so he can make anybody look good. I'm kind of curious, like, now that they put the belt on Braun Breaker, who are they going to have for challenges? Because they're going to have to give him guys that he can beat. So then, you know, they're not all of a sudden going to start throwing Randy Orton or these, you know, there's a lot of top guys. It's funny when they start doing this matchmaking. And then you got somebody on a trajectory, you can't really put them in there with the top guys because those guys, you're not going to have those guys drop out to them. So I'm kind of curious, like, what's this challenger list going to look like?
Mm.
Professor, thoughts on Braun, what I would call him, Steiner?
Guy is a stud. He's a phenom. I mean, that's how explosive he is just unreal. I mean, coming off the ropes the way he does, and it's amazing he hasn't hurt someone. It just shows you that he's good at what he does, because he really hasn't hurt anyone seriously. Mm-hmm. But I can see Phantom has a good point, because it's interesting to see who they throw at him now. If maybe a Kevin Owens, somebody that, I mean, is it near the, I don't want to say the end of their career, but maybe put him over, or where are they going to go if they're going to try to elevate somebody else? I think Sami Zayn, I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line, if they're building up the OG bloodline, if he ends up coming out and helping the Usos and Roman Reigns, if they're getting beat down sometime. If they don't have anyone, I don't know if there's anyone else in the pipeline that's coming in that's Samoan, of Samoan descent or not, and which side they'll go to. But I can see that happening as well.
That's what I was thinking for the when Survivor Series comes. I think it's going to be in a Bloodline Survivor Series Survivor Series match.
I just have a problem with the Braun Breaker thing. I mean, right off the rip, they're dropping the ball like the Eli Drake thing. They say that Rick Steiner's his father, so just call him Braun Steiner. Stop making it so trademark valued. He's the Steiner. Call him Braun Steiner, and we'll call it a day right there. I'm pissed at the booking with that guy. They should have had him when he came up to the main roster. He should have been just destroying everybody. Quick matches. Yeah, don't give him a lot. Just three matches. You know, squash, 3 weeks in a row, and then, you know, into a storyline for this intercontinental. A slow build with him to just destroy all those mid-card guys that you got that are just hanging around doing nothing, the J.D. McDonoughs and, you know, the Ridge Hollins and all those turkeys that are just in that mix there that you don't even know whether they're still with WWE or not with WWE. That's my only problem I have with that. Thomas, what's the next match? Are we at the main event yet?
No, we're at
CM Punk.
Oh, yes.
CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre with Seth Rollins as the special referee.
Oh, so I'm going to go to somebody that hates CM Punk. I'm going to go to Bradford. Brad, what'd you think?
Bro, I thought for it not being a title match and not being the main event, that match was incredible. They did a straight throwback to Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker. Everybody that came out was dressed a certain way to look like them from that match. They even did the chair bit, but I think somebody took it from Seth Rollins, so he didn't wind up hitting him in the chair or anything. Great match. I have one question though. Drew McIntyre pulled the bracelet out of his trunks. So he had it snuck it in his gooch, in his prison wallet. Soon as CM Punk puts it on, the first thing he did was kiss it. I was like, what are you doing?
Well, wait till he finds out and he sees the replay of him doing that. I'm sure maybe they can work that into a storyline.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't think he had it in the prison wallet. I think he had it like around.
Like, yeah, he had it wrapped around.
Yeah, he had it wrapped around, like, you know, right at the base, around everything. You know,
like, this is weird, man. You're kissing. Where do you pull that from, man? Why are you kissing it? Like, come on. Great match, though, man. I loved it.
Thomas, thoughts on that match?
It went the way I kind of thought it would be. They couldn't have Drew McIntyre lose three times in a row to CM Punk. It just doesn't look right. Especially with him just signing the big contract. So you kind of figured he'd win. It's set up now for them to have a three-way at probably Survivor Series, or if they want to keep dragging along. I mean, could be WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or something like that. So, I mean, it's good for what it is, but gives them all three guys something to do until they figure out what they're going to do with who's going to be the next challenger for the belt.
Well, the thing with Punk is he doesn't have to win because he's always over. I mean, he's like how The Undertaker was. The Undertaker would lose and you'd never even really remember him losing. He can talk himself right back up to getting over again. You know what I mean? So it doesn't hurt him losing. And he probably owes people a bunch of stuff too. And then there was video afterwards. They didn't show it on the feed, but I guess him and Stephanie McMahon were hugging it out before he went to the back or whatever. She came running over from where she was sitting and grabbed him and gave him a hug. Like, you know, like you did the right thing, you know, that like, we're so happy you're back kind of thing. He's just one of those guys. He's got that. He's so over. This is the only guy in the history of wrestling that didn't wrestle for almost 10 years and people were still chanting his name. I've never seen that for anybody else. So he does have a.
They just have to bubble wrap him to make sure he makes it to the next pay-per-view because the guy's made out of glass.
Yeah, that's true. Too many of those indie matches in the early years that probably worked against him. Phantom, thoughts on the three-way?
Why do you say it like that?
Oh, way easy. Hold on, I gotta go get a drink.
And a wristband.
Oh god. Yeah. No, I thought a match of the night for me. I think it's CM Punk's unbelievable. Comes out with the Bret Hart gear on. Always he's like in fantastic shape too. Like, I don't know if getting hurt as much as he has is like a light bulb went off. Well, he's like in better shape now than he was probably 10 years ago.
Good shape for an older guy.
Yeah.
Great shape for an older guy. I think they can do a lot with him. I mean, whatever they're going to do with him, you got to do it now. The shelf life, you never know. All it takes is for one thing to go sideways and, you know, all the good stuff that he's saying now could be all out the window. So take advantage of him while you got him. Whether it's blows a gasket or gets hurt, who knows? But as far as like Drew McIntyre, he's on fire too. Like they could do so much with him right now. He's one of those guys that he's at top of his game because everything that he does, it seems real. Like he's definitely like one of those wrestlers. When you're watching it, you're not watching it like you watch a wrestler. He's pulling you in. You're invested in what he's talking about. Rollins. All the talent in the world. I don't know, man. He just kind of drives me nuts the way they got him now. It's, he'll get into the mix. I think he did the referee stuff pretty good. All the classic, I'm in charge kind of shit. But yeah, the match was great. Awesome, awesome match.
Yeah, I like the banter. The banter was great. And they were saying it loud enough that you could pick it up on the feed. So, it definitely well thought out. Definitely psychology driven match, which is great. The branches of a storyline where it's going to go, who's going to be after Rollins now. I think it's going to be more Drew McIntyre and Rollins probably doing something, and Punk will, you know, kind of find another somebody else to piss off. But the Punk thing that came out after SummerSlam was I don't know if he's trying to work out a new deal, but he said he's interested in taking over NXT when Shawn Michaels retires.
Ooh.
So if you are gonna get somebody that gonna teach the psychology and the wrestling business the right way, that's a great guy to bring on as the next person teaching, a group of people that don't know anything about psychology with wrestling. They just think it's about getting their seven really cool moves in and not getting anything out of it. So should we move on to it's just the main
For
event,
sure.
right, Thomas?
Even the thing too, maybe with that match I thought was cool, kind of going back to the bracelet, was I saw Seth Rollins pick up the bracelet. And but when he picked it up, he kind of like looked at like he was like gonna like slide it out of the ring, and it was kind of like he just was like, ah, and he just like slid it on his wrist. And it was kind of cool that they ended up putting that into a part of the match that I was like, so he did a fantastic job, because he made it noticeable that he did pick it up. Without it being over the top, just something if you're paying attention when you're watching the match, and then AEW could learn a little from
You
that.
kind of did a Fuji Morocco with that, because I was going to bring up about that bracelet. Now, this is one of those kids like friendship bracelets that you make at like summer camp type of thing. They built a whole storyline around a bracelet. That's what that a lousy dollar bracelet. And I don't understand why people don't get that it's less is more. It's like you can take an inanimate object like that and build a whole story around it and get people to be interested in it. It's so pay attention, AEW. You're pissing me off.
Hell
Yeah. I'll cut a
no.
promo too. A good one. So main event time. Here we go. Big stuff. So starts out pulling at the heartstrings, right? Definitely Rhodes family pulling at your heartstrings with Farrah, right? The last walk.
Absolutely.
Coming out of the bus. You don't expect him to be there. You saw him come in with Cody like he's done a bunch of times with him, but you weren't expecting. I thought he was going to walk all the way to the ring with him. But he stops, and who's around the corner? The Enforcer. That's a surprise. Another guy that AEW had that people said that they didn't want to listen to. There's been multiple stories coming out of AEW that these veterans like Arn, when they went and said, "Hey, I want to critique you about your match," they're like, I already got a contract. I don't need your advice." So,
Oh.
yeah, oh yeah, it's happened with more than one person, and that's back to the bracelet. Just pay attention. But anyways, the little thing with the surprise with Arn, with the little pep talk, saying that this, that, and the other thing that. I pulled some strings, I got a hold of some people. So right there, something's coming, but you don't know what it is. So now you're invested off the rip. Match was good as usual. Solo was pretty good. I think his timing was great. I think Cody kind of was the general in that match. I don't know if you
Oh, yeah.
remember that little tidbit that Cody threw at him that he wasn't ready a while back, and it's kind of like kind of played in that match. I knew that Fatu was coming later on because the two Tongans showed up first. Eye patch Tongan that can't do anything right. And Tama Tonga. So I knew that Jacob Fatu was going to eventually show up. And when he did, I don't know if that guy broke his leg, broke
I
his
think he did break
hand.
his ankle at least.
But when that guy knew that he was screwed, and you saw the rage in that guy throwing that chair around. That you There's just certain guys you don't want to mess with, and that's probably one of them. Bradford, thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I don't know if that was a work or not, him getting hurt, but there are pictures of him walking around in an air cast and stuff like that. So I don't know. I hope he's not injured. I hope it's nothing serious. It's like we just finally started getting this guy, and then just to lose him. Yeah, the Tongas came out. Old Patchy there. He definitely had a couple missteps in the ring, and I'm like, why is this guy so rusty? What is going on?
Mission Impossible Tonga.
Like, cannot get right to save his life. I wasn't like I didn't have like I didn't think the KO or the Randy Orton pop. I kind of expected them to show up. That wasn't like a huge thing. What I was worried about was that they did the Bloodline rule so well for WrestleMania, I was like, come on, don't just go and repeat it. Like, don't do the same thing. Don't bring out Taker and Cena, and like, don't, come on, like, do something different. But when Roman Reigns came out, that was definitely exciting. I mean, because we had heard rumors, there was talk. I heard a lot of rumors that he wasn't going to come back till WrestleMania. So when his music played and it was a blue background, you know, so I think we're going to see this blue Bloodline versus the red Bloodline. And it's going to be good. Hopefully Jacob Fatu is not hurt. Like, don't be hurt, man.
Plus, they just put the belts on him. They just put the belts on him, too, right?
They just put them on. Like, worst timing ever. Don't be hurt.
Yeah, Tom's got a good point. They could go Freebird rules and let Tama Tonga and Tamaloa put the belts up for grabs.
But I've heard there's a lot more Samoans down the pipe. There's a Zilla Fatu. There's another Tonga who's like 7 feet tall. His name is literally Tala Tonga.
Yep.
Yeah, super creative. So I hope these guys come out, and then it's just gonna, you know, where's Jimmy Uso? Where was Paul Heyman? Oh. Where were they? So
Thomas, you want to add something to it?
It went almost the exact way I thought it would. The only thing I thought was gonna happen, I thought the Usos would have been coming out instead of KO and Randy Orton. But it was a good match. I mean, it was a typical WWE main event where you have a million people interfering, but if it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, it works for them. And I think Fatu, maybe he may actually be hurt, because Triple H mentioned him in the post-event press conference and actually mentioned it and said he was going to get checked out. And he said they didn't know if it was serious or not yet. So hopefully it's not serious, but I don't know. My one complaint is since Cody's won the belt, they've kind of booked him to look kind of a little weak in these main event matches where he hasn't won clean very often.
Franco, thoughts on that match?
I thought it was all right. I mean, it was a good match, but it wasn't the best of the night. I like some of the early matches better, to be honest. But I mean, I think really Solo's ready to be in the main event, even though, I mean, they elevated him. I think his thing is going to be more with like Roman Reigns. Like, he's just holding that spot for a little bit. I'll see what they do after, if Roman Reigns takes it back over. I think he's just going to kind of go the face route for a while. So he'll be feuding with those guys. So they'll be jumping on and the Usos and all that stuff come into play going forward. Like I kind of said before, probably headed towards like Survivor Series, or are they like well past War Games? Like War Games already passed, right?
No, it's coming.
So whether it's that or Survivor Series, maybe both, if they really keep it going pretty good. I think this was more about the Bloodline than it was actually about Cody. I think they just wanted to try to have a reason to bring Roman Reigns back in the title match. And I think Cody will move on to something else. Hopefully they get something hot going with him, because he's like a good old-fashioned feud with somebody. Whether they bring somebody in, a surprise guy, or he is a little stale.
So a couple of things with, things they could do, going from here with Brock Lesnar supposedly coming back. He's going to be on the side of Cody Rhodes because of the handshake deal that they had at the end of the Last Man Standing match there, the one that he suplexed him all over the place, and then he gave him a handshake at the end. So there is... I thought that was an ally that they could have pulled out for last night. Cena, I thought, could have came back too. I thought the Randy Orton and Kevin Owens thing could have been done different with two different other people, just because for the surprise factor, getting those two guys, it's like too predictable that those two guys were the ones. I think it should have been two surprises or whatever, but especially where it was Bloodline rules. Match was good. I mean, you got to kind of look at the card like WrestleMania 3, where you kind of knew what you were getting with Hogan and Andre. That's kind of like WWE-style main event where you get, what you wanted at the end with Roman Reigns coming back, kind of overshadowed the whatever the match was. Nobody was busted open. Nobody was, over the top with with that stuff. So I think everybody was just waiting for Roman Reigns. So that was the Hogan Slam and Andre thing and the 1-2-3 for that match. And I think all the undercard was what kind of was the surprises and kind of the meat to the meal. But one of the things that we didn't mention, and this is great for fantasy booking too, is the John Cena run to retirement. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. I was telling these guys, I love Ric Flair as a wrestler personally over the last couple of years. I think he's kind of, gone off on, Ric Flair stuff, but I'd love to see Cena beat that record at WrestleMania and retire one of those belts, take it with him. That's it. And then one world title. There's my one world title that I always want. 17 times, it's going to be tough to beat. I'd love to see Cena have that run where he's just buzzsawing through people, pay-per-view after pay-per-view all the way, even if he's like part of with Roman Reigns, in that group where he's like, he doesn't have to do a lot. CM Punk wouldn't have to do a lot. Roman Reigns could put I know everybody wants to see Bloodline versus Bloodline, but if Roman Reigns got CM Punk, Cody, and John Cena on his team against those guys, that'd be pretty epic. I mean, Roman Reigns could do most of the work. Cody could do most of the work, tag those guys in, John Cena and CM Punk on the same team. Kind of makes a lot of sense. But what do you see for the Cena run, Thomas?
Well, my prediction a few months ago was that they're going to have him win the belt at the WrestleMania, and he retires with the belt. And I think they'll have a tournament for the belt. I think they're going to still keep the belt and have a tournament when they go to Netflix. And that's going to be their big draw to Netflix, is have a tournament. They haven't had one for the heavyweight belt, and I don't know how long. So I think that's, and I, the big thing is, who is he going to fight in his last match? Now, I don't know if his back can hold up, but Cena and Orton are best friends, and I don't know if they'd want to face each other in there. It could be both their last matches for all we know, because Orton's back. I mean, I don't know if he's a good actor or if his back's really messed up, but almost every match, he looks like he's in some serious pain. But that's where I'm going anyway.
Phantom, how you booking Cena on that last run?
I'm going Cena to the end to win the belt. I think you got to do it. And like we were kind of talking about Cody, if Cody's a little, Cody's awesome. Whoever they give him, I like to see. I keep waiting. I want Randy Orton to turn on him, because Randy Orton's way better as bad guy. So they've been buddy-buddy all this time. I want something to happen that's going to be like, hey, I got your back all the time. Maybe something should happen to Randy and Cody don't come out and help him. And he turns on him, and even he could give – now if Randy wins the belt, now he – doesn't he move up to having the belt already 15 times as well? Isn't he only one short of Cena?
Yeah.
So now they're both even. And then you can kind of have maybe a match at the end where it's like, if Cena wins, he breaks the record. If Orton wins, he wins the record. Or Cody holds on and he stops everybody from winning. And then if, sign Ric Flair, get him to show up that day and let him screw somebody over and not to win the belt. But you can do so much with it. I kind of hope they don't, I don't want it to be predictable. Surprise me, please.
Yes. Yeah. And stay off those dirt sheets too, right?
Yeah.
Bradford, you're booking Cena. You're the younger guy in this group. You were a John Cena guy when you were a kid, and I know it. you've seen a lot of five knuckle shuffles in your life.
Oof.
I always kind of thought John Cena was a cornball, if I'm being honest. The whole like baggy denim shorts and rapping and rhyming and trying to be a hip hop star. It was weird to me. And that, but if you're gonna give him a run
to Massachusetts.
Was that
from Massachusetts?
Vacations to Massachusetts.
Yeah, is that how you all dress up there? How you all
act? Not.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're gonna come out and announce your retirement, say you're on a final run, don't you have to show up and do your final run?
Don't be surprised.
I don't know how they're gonna book that.
It's probably gonna start tomorrow, right? I would imagine on Raw,
and then they keep saying 2025 though.
Yeah. he literally was just was talking about coming back for like Road to WrestleMania, and I'm like, well, there's a huge gap.
But they had also said too that it doesn't end at WrestleMania. It ends at the end of the year. He's wrestling for 2025, so this is going to go all the way to December. This is going to run to WrestleMania.
So maybe he's got like a show or a movie he's working on, and when he wraps with that, he's going to come back and then wrap his wrestling, you know. But he said he's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
He's trying to get in shape for these 6 months to get back in ring shape.
Yeah, but he said he's going to come back for the Royal Rumble, so that's probably where we'll see him come back first, and then, you know, move forward from there. So,
is he going to win that Royal Rumble?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. That's a
hard
one.
I don't think they want to put him in the main event of WrestleMania. I think they'd rather drag it along.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to take Cody's belt. He'll go after whoever the heavyweight champion is, Gunther or Damian Priest or Drew McIntyre. That's the match they'll book for him. And then there's too much going on with Cody and the Bloodline for that title to go to Cena. So,
well, if that's actually a good person for Gunther to drop the belt to all the way till WrestleMania, even if he wrestles Cena and he loses to Cena. I mean, that doesn't do any damage to Gunther at all. You lost to the greatest of all time, and then you snap right back up and, you know, stop buzzsawing through people again. So it doesn't really, some guys, it doesn't really hurt the way they're booked. So, I mean, I'm interested to see wherever they go with it. So it's just more wrestling stuff to talk about. So are we wrapping this up for another week?
Let's do it.
That's our, SummerSlam recap. We're going to try to do this, like I said, quarterly for the big pay-per-views. We're missing a couple gents this week. Hopefully we'll have them back on next week. And Knuckles couldn't make it this week, so hopefully he'll be on after Survivor Series. So we'll just wrap it up. So any quick shout-outs before we go? Thomas?
Shout-out to Ed, and hopefully he's still got power, buddy.
Yeah.
Tom, real quick.
Just hoping friend of the podcast, Scotty, gets better. Just as someone who's been on crutches, don't use the crutches, use a walker. You're old enough, you can get away with it.
Bradford, real quick, got one?
Yep. Scotty, get better. Ed, drive safe. And then Nathan, happy birthday. Thanks for having us over for a SummerSlam party. My mans can make a mean brisket.
Whatever we've learned from this is there's a lot of uses for a friendship bracelet. So with that being said, we'll see you all next week. Later, everybody.